Good morning and happy Tuesday. I'm Jenna Barr. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 923-850-437-1620 is the number to text or call this morning. Ooh, a sunshiny, beautiful start. A beautiful start to this Tuesday morning, Mike Wiggins.
Absolutely
this
gorgeous.
Breeze,
absolutely gorgeous.
Cooler temps.
Exactly. You know, we're looking at the weather. We always talk about the weather on the Garden Line because it does kind of affect everything we do outside.
It makes sense.
And I noticed that I think it's tomorrow, I guess because it's supposed to rain a lot tomorrow, the temperatures may not even get into the 90s.
I know.
Maybe the high 80s. That is such a change from the 99, we've almost 100 that we've been having.
That's a whole lot of rain on the forecast right there.
Oh, it is. It looks like it's going to rain really for the next 4 to 5 days off and on, but maybe tomorrow, I think, may be one of the biggest days.
But that's a good thing.
Oh,
we
it is. No, it
rain,
is a good
right?
thing. We needed the rain. And I look at the tropics, and it looks like I was originally kind of a little concerned about that little disturbance off of Texas.
I saw that.
But I checked it this morning, and they were saying it's going to move south, maybe southwest, away from us.
Right, right.
But it's going to give Texas some very, very much needed rain. So good for them.
Yeah, the western states, they need it.
They do. There's no doubt about it.
You don't want that to go too long without getting rain.
Well, we needed it too. And it was sure good to have it. And I'm going to have a little bit more. And that's okay too. That is okay too. I think last week we talked a little bit about how good many of our lawns are looking, even though we've been through this I don't want to call it a drought. That's an exaggeration. But this lack of rain, a lot of yards, which obviously didn't get enough water and probably were scalped a little bit, are showing effects of that. But for the most part, I think people reacted, watered their yard good, and most of the yards in my neighborhood are looking very good. There's no question about it. St. Augustine yards especially are looking pretty lush, which takes us to what do we do next insofar as our lawn is concerned? Well, a couple of things. If you've got a St. Augustine yard, here we are, end of June, almost into July, it's probably time to put on that mid-season fertilizer. Good idea.
Okay.
St. Augustine likes a little kicker right in the middle of the summer, and it will really carry it through to the fall. What do you use? Well, I think if you have any fertilizer left over from the spring, use it. Don't buy anything else. If you got half a bag of, say, 1608 or any formula with a lot of nitrogen in it, that's the first number in any fertilizer, go ahead and use that. Do it just like you did in the spring, and you'll be done. If you have to go buy it, do not buy nor use any weed and feed, period, this time of year.
Okay.
I don't like to use it ever. We talk
right,
about that
right,
all the
right.
time on the Garden Line. But especially this time of year, I just simply wouldn't do it. Because
is it too much chemicals will burn it?
Too much chemical will burn it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. Because some of the weed killer elements in those fertilizers are pretty strong. So a lot of them have atrazine in it, which you just don't want to spray or put on a yard insofar as controlling weeds in the
right.
middle of the summer. I always say if you've got weed killer that you want to go spray, don't do it. Put it on the shelf. Just forget it because it's just too hot.
Okay.
So you just don't want to do that. Now, if you've got a centipede yard, and I'll tell you, some of the centipede yards in my neighborhood look really good, but if you've got a centipede yard, I do not recommend that same fertilizer that we're going to use on St. Augustine on centipede grass midsummer. Two things you could do for the centipede. One, you could put milorganite or an ironite or something of that, but doesn't have any nitrogen in it. Get it on your centipede. If your centipede is looking a little washed out, we haven't had a lot of rain, so it probably doesn't. The other option is do nothing. Do absolutely nothing. And just let the centipede look good because, quite frankly, once we get into late August and first of September, we can start, believe it or not, I don't even like myself saying these words, we can put winterizer fertilizer on it.
Oh, boy.
As we get into September. So in any event, centipede, I think I would just kind of back off and not do anything. I think that's important. So that's what I would do insofar as fertilization is concerned. But Jenna, I've got to tell you this, and you're, because this is one subject you never like us to talk about here on the Garden Line.
Oh, is it more bugs?
It's more bugs.
Oh my gosh, wait, before you go any further, I have to tell you a story.
Tell me about
Let me tell you something. If you don't have trauma yet, or okay, I was going to bed and I'm just laying there minding my business, and I like to pull my hair up in a scrunchie, and I have a lot of hair. Uh-huh. You see, I have a lot. Uh-huh. And so I tie it in a high like knot on the top of my head.
Okay.
But sometimes it falls out because I have a lot of hair.
Uh-huh.
So I thought my hair was falling out and tickling me on the forehead. Yeah, I know your face. You should see his face. His jaw just hit the mic.
What was it?
I was like, oh, that's weird. So I went to brush it, and then I felt it like kind of on the side of my eye, like right there on the high cheekbone, right? So I'm like, oh, that's so, this hair needs to get it together. All of a sudden, the hair's crawling into my eyeball. It was a massive black spider.
No. Really?
Let me tell you, I launched that thing across the room. Thank God it didn't bite me. I don't know what it was. It was harmless, but he knew he was who he was messing with. He totally, you know, came into my area, and so he went for a ride down the toilet.
I was just going to say, if he's still alive, he's passing the word. He's passing the word to the other spiders. This is one woman you do not want to mess with. Oh, that's kind of scary, isn't it? You know,
well, what's happening?
Especially
why I'm
when you don't know what kind of spider it was.
Right. And I think it was one of those jumping spiders, which are crazy. But what I'm saying is, if also as we talk about this subject, is people spray outside in these hotter months, they're all those bugs are going to want to come inside. So just remember that while we go and spray and we're doing all these things, you have to also be reminded they come inside this time of year more than any other time.
They do. And you've got to watch. Check your shoes and your pants and all that when you walk in the house after working in the yard, because you can bring them in the house.
Oh, yes.
And so, yeah, you have to be careful with that.
They like to attach to the top of my head, apparently, and go for little rides around the neighborhood.
I think if I'd had a spider crawling through my hair in the middle of the night, then you would have heard me all over town.
Oh, my word. I know. So it took me a while to go to sleep after that. But then I'm thinking, I walked outside this morning, and before I came back in from my bike ride, I shook my hair out. I'm like, please, nobody else be in there. Because it must have come in, like, or fallen on my head on my bike ride. It's just, ugh. Anyway, so the bugs are out.
The bugs are out. And when we get back from our break, we probably need to talk about what I saw in my yard just, my goodness, a couple of days ago. As soon as I saw it, I said, that's a topic we've got to talk about on the Garden Line, and Jenna's going to hate it.
Oh, great. Okay, so we're going to talk about bugs. I've got some questions about ants. I've got questions about fungicide. If we can apply that fertilizer on Zoysia right now. So let's get to those, 850-437-1620. It's 915. You're listening to...
She's a lady. She's a lady. Talking about that little lady. And the lady is mine. But she's never in the way. Always something nice to say. What a blessing.
917. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3, 850-437-1620. I promise to get to your questions and all your calls. We do have somebody on the line we'll get to in just a minute. But what were you saying about some bugs?
I'll make just a quick story because we have a lot of questions this morning. I'm walking across my St. Augustine yard, which, quite frankly, is not looking too bad. And as I step right around knee height, as a little dingy moth flies.
Oh, no.
So, we all know what that means. If you've listened to the Garden Line before, those little dingy moths will fly over 3 to 4 feet high around in your yard. They'll get in your monkey grass and that type of thing. But the problem with those is they lay eggs. The eggs, here come the worms, and those are the sod webworms. Now, if you've got St. Augustine, that's where your problem is. Really, centipede's not bothered that much by it. Zoysia, hardly at all. And so, if you've got St. Augustine, you've got to watch it every day because it's like locusts. They will start eating your grass. It looks like a goat has been chewing on the blades of your grass, and it'll get bigger and bigger and bigger. The nice thing about it, well, there's no nice thing about it, but one thing about that is they're not hard to control, especially if you get them early. A good St. Augustine insecticide, be it liquid or granular, will work. Get it on there, and you may even have to repeat it. And the other thing about it is your grass will generally recover because these worms are only eating the blades. Now, how to identify it? It's really easy. Go to the edge of the discoloration in your yard and look at the blades of grass right on the edge of that area that's turning brown, if you will. It's turning brown because that's the thatch underneath it. But you know, the blades of grass that are left will have notches in them, and that's where the worms have been feeding. So that's the sod webworm story. I apologize in advance because we will probably have to talk about that more as the season goes on. But when I saw that little dingy little devil flying across my yard, I said, say it isn't so. But it is.
So.
You know, here we are. It's been very hot.
Right?
The lawns are very lush, and we are getting into July. It can happen. I usually like to think they're not going to show up till mid to late July. But this year,
the weather we've had.
The weather we've had, who knows? So that's the sod webworm story for now.
For now.
For now.
To be continued. Before we get to Patrick from Pensacola on the line, what is the best way to treat ants in a raised garden?
Is it a vegetable garden? That's the question.
Probably
so. And that's a tough one. That's a tough one. We've always talked about seven dust, not the number seven, but S-E-V-I-N. Mm-hmm. Seven dust is an old-fashioned insect control that I think might have some give you some results. Check the label on it. Those labels change all the time. But you've got to be careful. You've got to be careful what you treat your vegetable garden
very
with.
Very much so.
Especially, obviously, you don't want to use any weed killers in there. That goes without question. But always, you know, we preach this sermon all the time. Check the label on whatever you purchase to be sure, one, it says ants, and two, it says vegetables.
Vegetables, safe, edible, yeah.
So, because, you know, if you're going to eat something, you've got to be real careful. You've got to be real careful. And let me tell you a quick story. I know we're jammed up here. I'm going to tell you a quick story that I read about the other day. A guy took a tomato plant to a county agent here in Florida, and the leaves were all shriveled up, and they couldn't figure out quite what it was. They finally figured out that the guy had mulched his tomato bed with hay, which you would say, that's okay.
Okay.
But number one, you never want to do that because it has a lot of seeds in it. But what they found out was that the farmer that grew the hay and supplied the hay to the garden center, who sold it for a mulch, used a weed killer on his hay. So here this mulch going around the tomato plants had the residue of weed killer in it, and it did a number on those tomato plants.
That's a little scary, actually.
It is scary. So you just got to be careful. If you're going to mulch your bed, do it with pine straw is fine.
Research.
Don't use hay, because I've always told people never mulch with hay, because a lot of that hay is like bahia hay. It's bahia grass, and that's what turns into the hay, if you will. And it's you'll have seeds all in it. You'll just have weeds galore.
Right.
So just don't do that. So if you're going to mulch it with something like even a cypress mulch or a pine bark or nothing at all. It just cultivate the weeds out of it.
Natural remedies too, real quick, and I'll let you know and I'll text you some of them. But somebody mentioned that you can plant mint around your garden, mint and lavender around your garden, which repels a lot of bugs, and you can put them right at the edges of your raised garden beds. Also, our friend Catherine said to pour liquid dish soap on the ant beds before rain to
good
help
idea.
Soap them out. I like that one too.
How about the marigolds? Remember we planted
marigolds, that's
true. Which supposedly will inhibit the nematodes,
which is and spiders.
Microscopic worm that gets to the roots of tomato plants, that type of thing. Some of those natural remedies, I think historically, are slow.
Yes.
Slow acting.
They do take time.
But that's okay. It's worth the effort. If you could keep it natural around your vegetables, do it.
Okay. All right. Hey, we're in the weeds, so let's get over to Patrick. Patrick from Pensacola is on the line. Good morning, Patrick. What's your question?
Good morning. You associate me with weeds. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Oh, Patrick, we didn't mean it.
I said weeds.
We didn't mean it.
Sorry about that. I couldn't resist. Anyway, you were talking about centipede grass.
Yes.
And I just had, about a year ago, I had a big yard sodded with centipede grass.
Okay.
And the best I can tell, ever since then, I've done everything wrong. And it's got large patches of where it's completely dead, where there's runners that seem like they're out in there, but have died. And there's patches all over. And I've talked to my Uncle Google several times about it, and now listen to you. Should I just leave it alone? I've really screwed it up.
Well, I don't know. Number one, it's all kind of reasons. You know, your grass has died. One, it could have been, quite frankly, subpar sod to start with. If it was cut real thin and didn't have a good base to it, when you put that down, it might not have been good sod. Preparation, and I know, Patrick, you did it right, but it needs to go on soft sand, if you will, which is the soil that we have here. Till it up, rake it smooth and soft, water it, and then put your sod down. If not, sometimes it'll just dry up. You may not have gotten enough water to it. Also, it may be in too much shade, and I don't know if that's is your situation, but if it's in too much shade, that could be a problem. One other thing about centipede that we all know this over the years, if your centipede is in a high traffic area, let's say the kids are playing soccer on it, and they play soccer on it, or there's a lot of traffic on that centipede in the winter time when the centipede is dormant, sometimes it has a problem coming out of that dormancy because it really doesn't like that traffic. I have a lot of people tell me, Mike, I've got my garbage cans here, and when I take them to the street, I walk over part of my centipede yard. But when the springtime comes, I've got a path that's left there, a path of dirt where the centipede just disintegrated. And that's simply because of all that traffic in the dormant season. So all those could be reasons. It could be a couple of those might fit you on your situation, Patrick. But other than that, insects, we didn't talk about insects. It could have been mole crickets. Mole crickets will get into centipede, no question, early in the year. So it could be bugs. It could be traffic. It could be shade. It could be bad sod. It could be preparation. A lot of those reasons would result in the situation you've got.
Hey, Patrick, thank you for calling. We've got to take a quick break here on the Garden Line, 850-437-1620. Got a minute away from getting an update in the newsroom with David Wayne. Before that, let's talk fungus. Can I apply a granular fungicide when applying my midsummer fertilizer?
My initial reaction is yes, you can do it. But let me say this. Just to be safe, I would do it separately. Let's do the fungicide first. Put the fungicide out. Now, granular fungicide, you can water in a little bit. You don't want to flood it in. You can water it in a little bit. You don't want to flood it like you're going to do the fertilizer. So put the granular fungicide out. Now, I always found spraying the fungicide was a little more effective. A lot more trouble because you need to spray and you need to have 48 hours dry. So that's another situation you've got to think about. But yes, use the fungicide granular, then come back with your fertilizer in, say, about a week.
All right, excellent. Thank you for that. We have more questions. I promise to get to them here on the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins, 850-437-1620. We are going to have a news update here after Fox. Stay tuned. All right, it's time for a lightning round. Like I said, we were in the weeds. We got lots of questions to get to, so let's do it. I am not a quitter. 850-437-1620. Let's start with this one right here. I had a question about my citrus trees that are in containers. I noticed they had some bugs. We have got a lot of bugs questions. I noticed they had some bugs on them. I ended up spraying them with 7 spray, and I mixed it myself from concentrate. I went out of town for about a week, and when I came back, all the leaves on my plant, almost all of them fell off. They are coming back, but they even have some blooms like it rejuvenated itself. I know that butterflies love citrus plants and lay their eggs on the leaves, and that really does a number on them. What do you recommend, or what do you think I did wrong as far as trying to control the pests? One other question. I'm going to be out of town for 2 weeks. I'm hoping I have nice neighbors to help me, but if not, how do I keep my container plants moist for that time?
Tough question. That is a tough question, because especially in the last week or so when we've been in close to 100 degrees, I have had to water some of my container plants twice a day. I mean, they dry out so fast when we have temperatures like this. So, yes, we need to find a good neighbor, a teenager that you can overpay to come in there and water those plants. Yep. There's no doubt about it. Also, on the leaves falling off after the spraying, sometimes you'll get a little, I think the word is, and maybe some of our biologists would help me here, phytotoxicity, which means that the plant reacted to the spray that you sprayed it with. Not that it was an improper spray, but with the weather like it was, so hot and so dry, and spraying and then maybe not being able to water afterwards probably contributed to those leaves coming off. One good news, though, many cases when you have a plant that's traumatized and it drops its leaves, that's good, because that means that plant is coming back to good health. It's when those leaves stay on the plant and turn brown and brittle when you sort of have to say, hey, you know, it isn't going to work. I'm going to have to start over. So I think that's probably some of the answers to that.
Okay, excellent. I'm sending a couple of other ideas, too. If you text in, I'll try to send all of Mike's replies as well. Here's one. It's not about bugs. Well, it is. I know lizards eat bugs, but lizards have taken over my landscaping around my house. How can I get rid of them?
You can't. You don't.
Welcome to Florida.
Welcome to Florida.
Until they get into your house. That's the real problem.
You know, it's really funny. You know, it's funny you would say that, because we have got in our backyard, and we spend a lot of time out in the backyard, just lizards everywhere, almost to the point where they come that I know their name.
Larry.
I've got so many of them, Larry and Mo and Joe and, you know, but
Curly.
Exactly. But seriously, there's a lot of lizards, and they are good because they will eat the bugs, and you just don't want to try to kill them. That's all I've got to say. I think if we recommended that, we might be in trouble.
Yeah,
you don't want to do that. But I will say this. I totally agree with the person who texted us. I have never seen so many. Never. And who knows why. We'll blame it on climate change. How's that?
Okay. It's your fault. Yeah. It's the government.
Yeah, there you go.
850-437-1620.
But there are a bunch of them around, but yeah. I think we have to just kind of let them do their thing.
That might be a sign they're taking care of a bug problem.
That's correct. You'd have so many more bugs
bang,
if you
bang,
didn't
boom.
Have the lizards. Absolutely.
That's a wrap. okay. Hey, I've got another question. Let's get all the questions out of the way about rodents. Moles in the lawn. What to do?
That's a tough one. That is a tough one.
A nice little pellet gun. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, that's true. But okay, that is a question that people have asked for years and years and years, and there's nothing really one can do about it that's really going to be that effective, because I've always said, if you live near a wooded area, or if you live in a neighborhood where there is construction going on, new homes going up, what have you, you're going to have more of a mole problem than somebody who does not have those factors. I would get granular insecticide that takes care of bugs. It's kind of a broad spectrum insecticide that takes care of bugs.
They're coming after the bugs too.
They are after the bugs. And that's why along the perimeter, your back fence or your backyard, is go ahead and put out some of the granular insecticide to kill the bugs that the moles are after, and they'll now maybe go to your neighbors. But that's about the only thing that one can do. Now, if you go there on the market, there are some products that supposedly you can put out, little pellets you can put into the mole run on, where if you can find that, where the mole is burrowed underneath your grass or underneath your natural area or wherever, you can use those. Be careful with those with pets and children. be so careful doing that. But there are some over-the-counter insect controls like that, or mold killer, if you will. I'm not so sure how effective they are.
Yeah. Didn't somebody text in one time that you could put mothballs, the rodents?
Yeah, that's another natural way to do it. Let me tell you another way I would not.
Yeah, you won't
not
get a boyfriend either.
Good point. Good point. Where was I? Oh, okay. Okay, here. I know where I was. Here's what you don't want to do. In my opinion, you can buy a mole trap, which is basically a spring-loaded gizmo that mole will set off the trap when he comes through it, and these spikes will go down and kill the mole.
Okay, I can't think of a live trap. You went off the
road. Oh, no. This is not a live trap.
I was thinking humane.
No, this is nothing humane about
like a
this.
And leprechaun
trap. You talk about dangerous for
this
kids and pets and all. Don't do it.
This is like a bear trap. Looney Tunes cartoon. Goodness. What does your backyard look like, Mike Wiggins?
I've never had one of those. I don't want one of them.
No. I don't even know where you can buy those. Probably in Alabama.
Maybe so.
850-437-1620. Let's get to this one. So I was trying to treat diseased grass, and I raked it and sprayed it. Now, after checking it, I see the roots are exposed. Is there a topsoil I should put over the roots so it's not too exposed? It's St. Augustine. And we were talking about it in the break, so I was mentioning if you have an animal, it could be an animal. But
could be.
He was actually asking, is there a topsoil to put over the roots to protect it, or what do you do?
Well, number one, you got to figure out why you have exposed roots. And that's because either it's in the grass is in the shade and it's not growing as lush as it should be. Maybe it hadn't had the water. Maybe it hadn't had the fertilizer. You can look at all of those reasons. Or maybe some of these spots are caused by pets, by dogs, if you will, that are in the yard. So all of those things, if you want to make that yard recover, nothing's wrong with putting a little sand on it, white builder sand. You can buy it at big box stores in, I don't know, 50-pound bags, probably a couple of bucks, not much. Put it on very thin. Be sure that some of the blades of grass are poking through it. I don't know if you want to go to that trouble. I think if you water, fertilize, you know, it's a midsummer, good time for St. Augustine fertilizer. If you do that, your grass should recover. Also, be sure you're not scalping that St. Augustine. That could be causing a lot of your troubles there. So be sure. Remember, 4 inches. 4 inches on St. Augustine, which a lot of people say, oh, it's so high. I mow it on Saturday, and by Wednesday, it needs it again. Well, so it goes, because that 4 inches will make really, really healthier grass.
Okay, excellent. Oh, we got to take a break. We've got more. We've got an extended lightning round, and I've got a surprise for you when we come back, okay? But first, I've got another surprise.
You scare me.
You got to answer. this is not really an answer, but I've got a joke for you.
Go.
Okay, so you can't plant any flowers if you haven't bought any.
That's pretty deep, you know.
Did you get it though?
No.
Botany. Like B-O-T-A-N-Y.
Oh.
I promised a dad joke at least once today. And so that was it. You can't plant any flowers.
I missed the whole joke. Oh my goodness.
I know Paul liked that one. You're welcome.
Did that come from Paul?
No, that came from dadjokes.com. But I've got more for you. I've got a surprise for Mike.
Okay.
A very special question this time of year. We get this every year. And so this is just for you, Mike. And I've got a song for you, a love song for you. Okay?
Very good.
All right. We're going to take
a quick break.
We've got more questions here. 850-437-1620.
I was an armadillo on Highway 40 west of Amarillo, dodging cars and eating bugs until I
for that song for see the weeks, haven't you?
It's been in my queue for days. Like, when am I going to be able to play Russell Thornberry's Armadillo song?
Let me tell you one thing.
I think this is the most his song's been played.
We're going to have to ask Bob Burgee, who follows us, on to just give us the next hour, because now the phones will light up with the armadillo questions
this
again.
This is it. Well, guess what? We've got one here. Even though we have lawn service, my, is it Zoe's grass? Zoysia?
Zoysia.
It's being destroyed by armadillos. Where do you live? Please tell me.
No, I was going to ask. That is really a good question. Where do you live? North of 9 Mile Road or south of 9 Mile Road? Or to say the interstate. North of the interstate or south of the interstate?
That's a good question. So we've also said before with armadillos that they are coming after the same thing that the rest of the rodents. It's just a freakier looking rodent.
It is a freak. Did I tell you?
Yes, you told me.
We had one. Yes. I saw one walk across my backyard.
Was his name Russell Thornberry?
First name was Russell. I don't know what his last name was, but
now his name is Russell.
I can't believe you found that song.
Yeah, this is the gift that keeps on giving. but pretty much, like we've mentioned before, you have probably some bugs it's coming for, or it's just moving its way through. But armadillos.
Yeah,
like it's a family.
If you really want to. If that's a serious question, I would do the same thing we did for the moles a minute ago. Put out some granular insecticide, kill the bugs. Hopefully he'll go somewhere else.
Yeah, but sayonara. head back west. 850-437-1620. Did we get to this one? I sprayed some soap on my cherry tomato plant and the leaves are dying now.
Could have been too strong.
Ooh.
Like we said a minute ago, sometimes you spray any plant in this heat, and you can have some problems. You just have to be very, very careful. If you are going to do that again, I certainly would cut down my dilution. I really would, because you start spraying things on plants in 100-degree heat, and you really can have some adverse reactions.
Okay. Very good. Let's see right here. The best fertilizer for Empire Zoysia. Can you recommend one?
Well, my favorite for Empire Zoysia is a 1608. Hard to find, but I think one of the big box stores had it this spring. Relatively expensive, but the 1608 is a formula that, quite frankly, the county extension people all over North Florida have recommended for years for St. Augustine, centipede, and zoysia in the spring. And if you want to use it for zoysia midsummer, that's good also. Now, you can find fertilizers that have a little more nitrogen. That's what the 16 is, 1608. 16 is 16%. Nitrogen. If you get 20, 21, 22, that's okay too. But read the label as far as how heavy you put it out. You have to do your arithmetic. How many square feet do you have? How many square feet per pound or per bag of fertilizer? And match all that together. Because even though we're looking for a summer kicker, if you will, for especially St. Augustine, but Zoysia also, if you put it on too heavy, and we head back to 100 degrees and no rain, if you can't just flood it with water, you may have some problems. So be careful. But it looks like with this rain we're going to have, if you could sneak in that midsummer fertilization and between rains, that would be good. But don't put it on a wet lawn and then have it not rain or not be able to water it.
Okay. And today's kind of the day. Today is
it looks like it to me. Yeah, it looks like, you and I are looking at that screen over there. It looks like we've got...
Our chances get higher.
They get higher as we move through the week. So
your next window would be Saturday, possibly.
Yeah,
it looks like a high of 87.
Right. We've been talking about fungus in St. Augustine, how a liquid fungicide is so effective. But you get into a cycle like we're in right now, where it looks like it could rain every day.
Yeah.
You can have that spray ready to go. And you just can't pull that trigger because you're wasting your money and your time if you go out there and spray a liquid fungicide on your St. Augustine and it rains. It just has got to have 48 hours dry, and we may not have 48 hours dry for a while. So
That's
kind of a dilemma a lot of folks are in when you get that Rhizoctonia fungus on St. Augustine.
Yeah, and it's if this is the day, if you have it around, I say go for it. I'm watching this forecast as it continues, and yeah, it does look like we've got higher and higher chances, 70% to 80% throughout Wednesday
right.
through Friday.
And I can't remember if we've mentioned it or not. You and I have talked about it. That F-stop is a good granular fungicide.
Yep. It's a really good one, and it's in stock at the Lowe's on Airport.
Right, exactly.
So most of the area Lowe's, actually. I just didn't check on Mobile Highway. 850-437-1621. We come back after this break. We've got a question about fertilizing your annual potted plants. So we'll get to that after this. All right, 9:58. Thanks for hanging out this morning on the Garden Line. Before we wrap up, two questions. Is now a good time to fertilize annuals in the pot?
Sure. As long as they've been well watered and they're very healthy, two things you might want to think about using. One is called Osmocote. Osmocote is a time-release fertilizer for container plants. It's really, really good. Or Miracle-Gro makes a good liquid houseplant or container, if you will, fertilizer. Be careful, just like everything else we talk about on the Garden Line, be sure you don't overdo. Be sure you don't use too much. And just follow the label. And I think, especially for that Osmocote, like I say, it's a slow release, lasts a long time, a little more expensive than some of the others, but it's a good product. Been around for years and years and years.
Okay, last question before we wrap up in 10 seconds. I have brown spots appearing on my orange tree and the leaves are falling off. What can I do? Real quick.
Hard to say why that's happening. Hard to say, but I would certainly look at my irrigation to be sure we're getting enough water in this heat.
Okay. Make sure it's getting watered. Keep us updated. Tune in next Tuesday, July 5th. It'll be Post America's birthday for the Garden Line, 9 a.m. every Tuesday morning with Mike Wiggins. That was fun. Armadillos, bugs, moths, sod webworms. We had it all.
We've got it all here. We've got everything. Woo!